Hi, I'm Kristen Hodgden, an IVF mom, proud women's health advocate, and co-founder of Rescripted. Welcome to From First Period to Last Period, a science-backed health and wellness podcast dedicated to shining a light on all of the women's health topics that have long been considered taboo. From UTIs to endometriosis, we're amplifying women's needs and voices because we know there's so much more to the female experience than what happens at the doctor's office. With From First Period to Last Period, we're doing the legwork on your whole body so you can be the expert in you. Now let's dive in.
Almost guarantees that I'm not bleeding through, but Emma, to your point, I don't think people that don't have endo don't understand when we're saying we bleed through a super pad and a super tampon. It's not an over the course of the day. Like every hour I'm having to change, especially like first 2 days. So I just think that's really important to know, like when you're picturing, for lack of better words, but like how heavy it could be. It's every hour bleeding through a super pad and a super tampon.
Emma, I think, sorry to interject, Jack, but I think you hit on something really important with saying, like your doctor said, it was everyone has cramps or everyone, some people just get heavy periods. And as an adolescent or as like a young woman, you don't really know any different. And you're just like, I'm believing my doctor because they're my doctor.
These are the people you're supposed to trust.
Exactly.
But in regards to like where I'm at now, ovulation is far more painful. It feels like, so I was explaining it to one of our writers the other day. So ovulation pains, one, that's when I flare up, and we can touch on flare ups later if you want. But the pain, to describe it, a lot of times my back goes out, my lower back. And depending on what my lifestyle is like during that time. So essentially, if I'm eating dairy or not on the best diet, my back is going to go out and it'll probably be a 9 out of 10. And I'll be working from the sofa for minimum 3 days with a heating pad on me. Can't pick up my own kids because it's so bad. And then the pains that I'm feeling inside are two ways to describe it. Think of an animal balloon, like when they're twisting it. And that's what I'm feeling. That's how I've described it since I was very young, like the twisting an animal balloon. And also when you press a bruise. So when we talk painful sex, it's if you had a bruise and you press down on that bruise, that's the pain that I'm feeling inside. When it comes to endo, ovulation, painful sex, all the things. So back going out, the pushing of a bruise, and the twisting of a balloon is like how I can summarize the pain.
That's so helpful, though, because I feel like there are probably people out there listening to this who might have one or all of those symptoms and still not have gotten to the bottom of it and be like, what's going on with me? Whether it's just the painful sex or whatever it is, just characterizing it is so important. Awesome. Not awesome. That's horrible. Emma, what about you as far as just how it manifests throughout the month?
During my periods, I've gotten to the point where it's progressed to not being able to leave bed. Before my excision surgery, I had a lot of difficulty breathing. I had the back aches. I have pelvic floor spasms that travel from my pelvic floor up my back into my abdomen, down my legs, and it just starts this chain reaction of just indescribable pain. And I do find it hard to explain the pain to a degree where other people will understand it. But I think the animal twisting, which like the balloon, I've not heard of, but I do relate to that a lot. A lot of times it feels like knives being jabbed and dragged.
Oh my gosh.
Or barbed wire, just scraping. Like feeling like my organs are entangled in barbed wire and it's just either shifting or just not very nice. I've definitely felt some improvement since, but I do have debilitating pain where it's really hard for me to even walk from my room to the bathroom.
And how many days out of the month would you say that you experience that?
My periods last, like the debilitating pain from my periods last now for 2 to 7 days. It really depends on how I'm taking care of my body. Like you said, like diet, what I'm putting in and around my body, what I've done for activity. Am I allowing myself to rest without guilt? But then there are also those pain days that they're just there. And I don't really have any rhyme or reason, especially in my luteal phase, especially around ovulation. But I'm still figuring it out.
Which is just so crazy. I just think it's so important to have this conversation because people that haven't experienced this, myself included, this is a large part of your month and your day-to-day life. And a lot of us as women don't want to complain, don't want to constantly harp on, I have two other chronic illnesses. I don't constantly want to be like, oh, I'm so fatigued and this and that. But it does affect like how you show up in your day-to-day life and how you feel about yourself, I'm sure, and your mental health. And like, how does the mental health component come into it all?
I'm very lucky to have a therapist that I've been working with for a while now. And we're working on a lot of things, understanding that chronic pain has influenced so much more than just my physical well-being. It messes with your confidence. Not really knowing how your body's ever going to react is very anxiety-inducing. And I could be doing all the things right and still have a flare-up and be out in public. And maybe I don't have anyone around me that can drive me home. Or I feel like I heavily depend on the people in my life, and I'm very grateful for the support. But it is very anxiety-inducing, and feeling like whenever I do have a flare-up, what did I do wrong? When a lot of times it's not anything that you did wrong. It's just the way that your body is at the moment. And I really lost the connection with my body for a while because I thought that it was fighting against me. And I hated my body, which did not make things any better. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely learning now to mend that connection and understand that my body did not ask for it. And it also does not want to be going through it, but it is helping me and doing everything that it can to get through it.
And I feel like there can be a lot of self-blame personally when it comes to chronic illness. Like, it's, why am I so tired? Or why am I this? Or why am I that? Or why can't my body do what it's supposed to do? Like, specifically with infertility for a lot of people. And at the end of the day, it's, you don't have the same 24 hours in a day as like a healthy and well person. And you can't be expected to always be at 100%. And you're holding yourself to a standard that's unrealistic and not giving yourself the credit or grace that you deserve when you do that, or at least in my case.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think for me, obviously the anxiety, yes, to everything you said, not knowing when it's going to show up. Did everything right this month? Why did this still happen? Not knowing how long it's going to show up for. But to touch on just different points, since you've covered that, I think my confidence and insecure, like between the bloating, right? Like, I'm not eating anything that should cause inflammation, yet here I am like going to Miami and I look like I'm 4 months pregnant. This is ridiculous. Sex hurt. Like, I'm married, and even before I was married, I was living my best life, and to not be able to do things that I wanted to do that should be enjoyable really took a toll on me as like a woman, and like my security as a woman, like screw whatever the man thought, I want this, and it doesn't feel good. And then for me, it then traveled beyond that when dealing with infertility. So when I first was diagnosed, they were like, it's going to be really hard for you to get pregnant, really hard for you to carry. And both of those manifested several times, several miscarriages, and couldn't get out of my head and couldn't go through either of my pregnancies until probably 30 something weeks, when I was like, at least if the baby comes now, I'm okay. To go through an entire pregnancy hearing like what a doctor told me at 19, you're not going to be able to carry. It's going to be really hard to carry. Coupled with, it was really hard. I did miscarry. It did take me a really long time to even get pregnant both times. It really was, oh my God, like my womanhood feels really like a punch in the gut to my womanhood. Yeah, it just didn't feel good. Oh, sorry.
We're getting emotional over here. That's just like the point I think we want to drive home, is it's just so all consuming, and this is your day to day. And like, when it comes to things that other people take for granted, specifically with like infertility or just going about your day-to-day life or having sex or whatever it may be, this is something that impacts all of it.
If this podcast means something to you, be sure to hit follow or subscribe. This helps you because you'll never miss an episode, and it helps us because you'll never miss an episode. For science-backed women's health content that meets you exactly where you are, head to rescripted.com or follow us on social at @HelloRescripted.